The Act also presumes that whenever there is a transfer of an instrument, it is done before the due date, before the maturity period. If an instrument is valid for 3 months, it has to be endorsed or transferred before the period of the 3 months. 3 महीने के बाद ट्रांसफर करने से, एंडोर्स करने से कोई मतलब ही नहीं है, बिकॉज द बिल इज ऑलरेडी बिकम ओवरड्यू. ओवरड्यू होने के बाद जो भी ट्रांसफर या एंडोर्समेंट करेंगे, दे आर नॉट वैलिड, दे आर नॉट रिकग्नाइज्ड, सो दे विल हैव नो लीगल सैंक्टिटी. दैट इज वाई वॉट एवर एंडोर्समेंट इज डन और वॉट एवर ट्रांसफर इज डन, इट इज डन बिफोर द मैच्योरिटी डेट. सी द एंडोर्समेंट्स अपियरिंग ऑन द नेगोशियबल इंस्ट्रूमेंट आर मेड इन द ऑर्डर इन विच दे अपियर. Now suppose there is a bill. It is drawn by A in favor of B. B के हाथ में आ गया इंस्ट्रूमेंट. अब B को पेमेंट करना है C. सो इंस्टेड ऑफ मेकिंग एक्चुअल मनी कैश पेमेंट, वो ये बिल को ही C के फेवर में एंडोर्स करता है. सो ऑन द बैक साइड ही विल राइट पे टू मिस्टर C, साइन एंड गिव इट टू C. नाउ C इन टर्न हैज टू पे टू D. So he also, instead of making cash payment, he writes pay to D and signs C. वो कहाँ साइन करेगा? पहले B ने लिखा है pay to C and signed by B. उसके नीचे C is signing pay to D. Now D has to make payment to E. वो उसके नीचे लिखेगा pay to E and signs Mr. D. तो ये जो तीन endorsements हैं, B in favour of C, C इन फेवर ऑफ D एंड D इन फेवर ऑफ E, ये एक के नीचे एक आएंगे एंडोर्समेंट्स. सो इट इज प्रिज्यूम दैट द ऑर्डर ऑफ एंडोर्समेंट इज द सेम एज दे अपियर ऑन द इंस्ट्रूमेंट. सपोज बाय मिस्टेक C ने D के फेवर में एंडोर्स करते समय एकदम नीचे लिख दिया और बीच में फिर D ने उसका एंडोर्समेंट डाला, तो भी वी आर गोइंग टू प्रिज्यूम दैट द ऑर्डर इन ऑर्डर B टू C, देन D टू E. Then, so the endorsement will appear only in that order in which they appear. We are not going to go by the date or the ink or the handwriting. We are going to see the order in which the sequence in which the endorsements appear on the back of the instrument. So this is because again, you know, this will give rise to so many complications if people start disputing. नहीं नहीं इसने पहले एंडोर्स किया, फिर इसने पहले किया, मैंने नहीं किया, मैंने बाद में किया था, सो माई एंडोर्समेंट इज नॉट वैलिड. ये नहीं होना चाहिए. इसीलिए द एक्ट टेक्स केयर ऑफ ऑल द पॉसिबिलिटीज ऑफ वेरियस डिस्प्यूट विच बिजनेसमैन कैन हैव एंड दे हैव पुट इट इन द एक्ट दैट एंडोर्समेंट जिस ऑर्डर में दिखते हैं उसी ऑर्डर में वो बनाए गए. सो इट पुट्स इट वेरी क्लियरली द एंडोर्समेंट्स अपियरिंग ऑन द नेगोशियबल इंस्ट्रूमेंट वर मेड इन द सेम ऑर्डर इन विच दे अपियर. There is no second opinion about this. It is further presumed that an instrument which is lost was properly stamped. Now, certain instruments, bill of exchange, they require to be stamped. A bill of exchange which is made in a foreign country and is made payable in India, you have to put it, get it stamped as per Indian Stamp Act. There are certain instruments which are payable, say, after 3 months, after 6 months, they also require stamp duty. Now, these bills, they have been stamped, and suppose the bill is lost. The Act says no dispute. You cannot say, ki nahi nahi usme stamp duty kam thi, isliye it's not valid. If at all you want to create a dispute, the dispute should be when the instrument is already there physically in front of you. If the instrument is lost, then we presume all the good things about the instrument. We will always presume that the instrument was valid, it was stamped properly, it was signed properly, the endorsements were all regular, and that. So what happens when an instrument is lost? We are not going to create any disputes about the lost instrument. We are going to presume that everything is in order, everything was in order, everything is in order, and everything will continue to be in order. There will be no dispute about the stamping of the instrument. As far as checks are concerned, there is no stamp duty. They are always unstamped instruments. Now, the next presumption about a negotiable instrument is that anybody who is holding the instrument is a holder in due course. Now, here the word due course doesn't mean with relation to time, time factor, in due course of time, ye nahi hai. Due course means due course of business, in the proper manner in which the business is to be done. A holder is a person who is holding the instrument. I have a check written in favor of LIC for the premium amount. I have a check which is to be issued to some school authority for payment of my son's school fees, or I have a check which is written in favor of my landlord for the rent amount. Now, all these checks mere paas hai and the entire thing is lost. Chori ho gayi, handbag is lost, all the checks are lost. The person who is finding these checks, uske haath mein jo ye check gaye, he is the holder. He is holding those checks. He is a holder. But is he a holder for the money involved in that check? Kya wo paise usko milna chahiye? Chori ho gayi, chor ke haath mein checks chale gaye, kya wo chor, he becomes entitled to the money? चोर को पैसे मिलने चाहिए? एलआईसी के प्रीमियम के लिए मैंने चेक बनाया तो एलआईसी को ही मिलना चाहिए. स्कूल के नाम पे मैंने चेक बनाया तो स्कूल को पैसे मिलने चाहिए, या लैंडलॉर्ड के नाम पे बनाया तो लैंडलॉर्ड को पैसे मिलने चाहिए, रेंट का पैसा. द रॉबर द थीफ इज नॉट एंटाइटल टू द अमाउंट बट ही इज गॉट द चेक्स इन हिज हैंड, ही इज होल्डिंग देम, दैट मीन्स ही इज अ होल्डर. बट इज ही अ होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स? वॉज देयर अ ट्रांजैक्शन बिटवीन मी एंड हिम? Is he a holder in the normal, proper sense? Is he entitled to that amount? No. So there is a difference between a holder and a holder in due course. Who is a holder in due course? A holder in due course is one who is entitled to get the amount under that check. Aur wo normal transaction ke through usko mila hai. I have written a check in favor of B. Now B is the landlord. I have written the rent amount. 25,000 रुपीज मेरा किराया है, लिख के दे दिया चेक उसके नाम पे. नाउ ही हैज टू पे मनी टू हिज सप्लायर. ही इज डूइंग, ही इज अ बिजनेसमैन, ही इज डूइंग सम बिजनेस, और उसको उसके कस्टमर को पैसा देना है. तो ही इज ट्रांसफरिंग दिस चेक इटसेल्फ इन फेवर ऑफ मिस्टर सी, और वो उसने चेक दे दिया सी को. As far as I am concerned, मैंने चेक लैंडलॉर्ड को दे दिया, लैंडलॉर्ड के हाथ में चेक गया. सो फॉर मी लैंडलॉर्ड इज द होल्डर एंड ही इज अ होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स. उसको मिलना था, उसको मिल गया. नो, लैंडलॉर्ड हैज ट्रांसफर द चेक इन फेवर ऑफ सी बिकॉज ही हैज टू पे टू सी. नो, सी इज द होल्डर एंड बिकॉज लैंडलॉर्ड हैड टू पे टू सी, देर वॉज अ जेन्युइन ट्रांजेक्शन बिटवीन देम, सी इज ऑल्सो होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स. If the check is lost by me or chori ho gayi, chor ke haath mein gaya, to chor is not the holder in due course. If the check is lost by the landlord, landlord ke haath se chori ho gayi aur uske haath se check has gone to a robber, that robber is also not the holder in due course. But the landlord has endorsed it in favor of C and C gets the check, he is a holder in due course because usko milna hi tha. So a holder in due course is somebody who will, who is entitled to the amount, who is supposed to get the amount under the check. So the act says if somebody is having the check, he is a holder, he is a holder in due course. It will presume that C has got a check which is in favor of B, that means C is a holder in due course. C is not a robber, C has not stolen the check, he deserves to have the check with him and in his name. The only exception is when the check is obtained by fraud. यदि C ने B के घर से चोरी कर ली, C is a servant working in the landlord's house, और उसने उसके घर से चोरी कर ली या उसको बुद्धू बना के चेक अपने नाम पे करवा लिया, तो then it is, he is not a holder in due course because उसने fraudulent means apply किया. Now we will see some examples. Suppose the negotiable instrument is dated 5th of June. It's valid for 3 months. So the due date is 5th September 2013. So the instrument can be accepted or endorsed only before the due date. Ulta, suppose there is an endorsement or acceptance, hum kya presume karenge? It has been done before 5th September. So it is presumed that such acceptance or endorsement took place before 5th of September. Now again the next presumption, that there are 3 or 4 endorsements. The endorsement will be in the vertical order. Normally check ke peeche ya instrument ke peeche endorsement rehta hai. वो वर्टिकल ऑर्डर में ही होता है, सबसे पहले ऊपर में, फिर उसके नीचे, फिर उसके नीचे, उसके नीचे. दिस इज द ऑर्डर इन विच द एंडोर्समेंट विल अपियर. एंड सो वी हैव टू प्रिज्यूम दैट द एंडोर्समेंट आर इन द सेम ऑर्डर. आगे पीछे किसी ने कर दिया ये हम प्रिज्यूम नहीं करेंगे, बिकॉज इफ यू आर अलाउड टू हैव सच प्रिजम्पशंस वी विल एंड अप विद लॉट ऑफ प्रॉब्लम्स एंड कोर्ट्स विल बी फ्लडेड विद ओनली डिस्प्यूट केसेस. सी द नेक्स्ट प्रिजम्पशन, सपोज अ चेक इज डिसऑनर्ड, अ बिल इज डिसऑनर्ड, प्रोमिसरी नोटिस डिसऑनर, ड्यू डेट पे पैसा मिला नहीं, द पे द बेनिफिशियरी रिसीव्स, सपोज टू रिसीव द अमाउंट ऑन द पर्टिकुलर डेट, ही डज नॉट गेट द बिल अमाउंट, दैट मीन्स द बिल इज डिसऑनर्ड एंड ही फाइल्स अ केस इन द कोर्ट. द कोर्ट इज नॉट गोइंग टू डिग इन टू द मैटर दैट सच में डिसऑनर हुआ कि नहीं. द कोर्ट विल सिंपली प्रिज्यूम हाँ डिसऑनर हुआ और इसीलिए ये सूट फाइल किया है. सो इफ अ सूट इज फाइल्ड इन अ कोर्ट अगेंस्ट एन इंस्ट्रूमेंट विच वॉज डिसऑनर्ड, द कोर्ट शैल प्रिज्यूम दैट द इंस्ट्रूमेंट वॉज इंडीड डिसऑनर्ड. वी आर नॉट गोइंग टू डिग इन टू द मैटर एज आई सेड कि सच में डिसऑनर हुआ था, ये झूठी मूठी केस फाइल करा. नो, द कोर्ट विल ऑलवेज प्रिज्यूम कि हाँ द इंस्ट्रूमेंट वॉज डिसऑनर्ड एंड दैट इज वाई दिस सूट इज बींग फाइल्ड. फिर वहां से बात आगे बढ़ेगी इन द कोर्ट. अ मेकर ऑफ अ प्रोमिसरी नोट और अ ड्रॉअर ऑफ अ बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज और चेक और एन एक्सेप्टर ऑफ अ बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज कैन नॉट एट एनी टाइम डिनाई द वैलिडिटी ऑफ द इंस्ट्रूमेंट. सी, इफ आई हैव साइंड अ प्रोमिसरी नोट एंड गिवन इट टू बी, एंड इफ आई डोंट मेक द पेमेंट on the due date and B wants to claim the amount from me, तो मैं उस समय ये नहीं कह सकती हूँ कि मैंने तो ये बिल बनाया ही नहीं था, और दिस बिल इज नॉट वैलिड, इट इज नॉट प्रॉपरली डन, इट इज नॉट प्रॉपरली स्टैम्प्ड, ये मेरा हैंड राइटिंग नहीं है. वंस आई हैव साइंड एंड डिलीवर्ड इट टू बी और सी, आई कैन नॉट डिनाई दैट आई डिड नॉट डू इट. इफ आई हैव रिटन अ बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज on B in favor of C on a future date, I cannot say कि मैंने ये bill of exchange बनाया नहीं. I did not give any such instructions. I am stopped from doing such things. The court will presume कि मैंने जो किया किया. The bill is drawn by me, the promissory note is signed by me, and I cannot deny on a future date that this is not a valid instrument. I cannot say that I had put conditions, isne delete kar diya, no, all those things are not possible, because again this is required so as to ensure smooth trade transactions. Yadi ye sab allow kar diya na to duniya mein jhagda hi jhagda rahega, only disputes. So that is why to avoid all the possibilities of any dispute of any nature, the act has taken care of all these requirements beforehand and taken these presumptions and put them in the act itself. Ki once an instrument is issued, it is presumed that it has been issued by so and so and there is no denying it. You cannot deny. Tumne issue kiya, tum abhi ye mat bolo ki tumne nahi issue kiya. So there is no possibility of anybody denying that this document is not valid. Now, no maker of a promissory note and no acceptor of a bill of exchange which is payable to order can deny the payee's capacity to endorse the bill in any suit which the holder in due course may at any time file. Now, I have issued a promissory note in favor of B. B is endorsing it to C. So, I can't say this before that B can't endorse it. How can B endorse it to C? I will not pay to C. सी इफ आई डोंट वॉन्ट टू पे, मैं ये सब बोल सकती हूँ कि मैंने तो बी के नाम पे दिया था, बी कैसे उसको दे सकता है, बी डजंट हैव एनी अथॉरिटी टू एंडोर्स इन फेवर ऑफ सी. इफ आई इश्यूड अ बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज एंड दैट बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज इज एंडोर्स्ड, वहां भी आई कैनॉट से कि नो नो दिस पर्सन कैनॉट एंडोर्स फर्दर, आई हैव नॉट पुट एनी रिस्ट्रिक्टिव क्लॉज. इफ आई पुट सच रिस्ट्रिक्टिव क्लॉज इट विल नॉट रिमेन अ नेगोशियबल इंस्ट्रूमेंट. नेगोशियबल इंस्ट्रूमेंट मैंने जैसे बोला था पहले, इट इज प्रिज्यूम दैट ट्रांसफरेबिलिटी इज देयर, इट इज प्रिज्यूम दैट इट विल पास अ बेटर टाइटल देन वॉट द होल्डर हैज, द ट्रांसफरर हैज. सो ये सब जब है तो आई कैनॉट डिनाई दैट द पर्सन हु इज एंडोर्सिंग कैनॉट एंडोर्स, ही हैज नो कैपेसिटी, ही हैज नो अथॉरिटी. So I cannot deny the payee's capacity to endorse the bill in any further endorsements. Similarly, no endorser can deny the signature or capacity to contract of any prior endorsers in any suit in which the subsequent holder may file. Now suppose I have received a check in my name endorsed by B. A has issued a check in favor of B. B has endorsed it to me. Now I want to endorse it to D. I am endorsing, and D has endorsed it to E. Now E wants to, E is not getting the payment from D. Now E can file a suit against all the prior parties. So jab E suit file karega, to main court mein ye nahi keh sakti hu ki B ne mujhe diya, B ko pucho, I have no authority. That B ko authority nahi thi ya B ka signature barabar nahi tha, so this document is invalid, so you don't deserve to get the payment. जब मैंने ले लिया और मैं फर्दर एंडोर्स करती हूं तो आई एम इनडायरेक्टली सेइंग दैट ऑल द प्रीवियस सिग्नेचर्स आर वैलिड. तो मेरे पास जब चेक आता है या बिल आता है, आई एम एक्सेप्टिंग, आई एम प्रिज्यूमिंग दैट ऑल द प्रीवियस सिग्नेचर्स आर करेक्ट एंड दे आर जेन्युइन. सो नाउ आई कैनॉट डिनाई दोज सिग्नेचर्स. सो दैट इज वाई नो एंडोर्सर कैन डिनाई द सिग्नेचर ऑफ कैपेसिटी टू कॉन्ट्रैक्ट ऑफ एनी प्रायर एंडोर्सर्स. Now suppose A has drawn a check in favor of B and B has endorsed it in favor of me and I endorse it in favor of D. Now suppose ye jo B hai, B is a minor. Now a minor cannot enter into a contract. So B cannot endorse in favor of me. So maine le liya aur D ke favor mein endorse kiya, to I accepted B's capacity. Although he is a minor, maine to accept kar liya, isliye maine D ke favor mein endorse kiya. Abhi main aage jaake I cannot say no no. B had no authority to sign. He is a minor, bachcha hai wo to. 16 saal ka hai. How can he endorse? How can he sign? He has no authority, no capacity to contract. This I can say if I do not endorse in favor of D. But having once endorsed it in favor of D, I have no authority to deny the previous signatures or their capacity. The next presumption. A negotiable instrument has no legal effect until it is delivered to the payee. I write a promissory note in favor of B, और वो कागज मैं अपने ही पास रखती हूँ, B को नहीं देती हूँ, तो what is it? Is it a promissory note? That promissory note will have effect or validity only when I give it to B. मेरे पास रख लिया, मेरे कब्जे में रख लिया, मेरे कबर्ड में बंद करके रख दिया, तो what is it? It's just a piece of paper in my drawer or in my cupboard. Unless I give it to B and B takes it, it doesn't become a promissory note. Likewise, if there's a bill of exchange drawn by A on B and favoring C, that bill of exchange has to go into the hands of C. Then it becomes a bill of exchange. So the negotiable instrument will have no legal effect until it is delivered to the payee, whosoever is the payee. Payee is endorsing it in further endorsement to other people, those people also have to receive this instrument. So delivery is very, very important in negotiable instrument. A negotiable instrument becomes a negotiable instrument only when it is delivered to the payee. Otherwise, it is just a piece of paper with no legal sanctity. The delivery may be actual passing from one hand to another or a constructive delivery. In constructive delivery, the payee will not get the actual possession. Suppose there is a limited company. I have drawn a check in favor of ABC कंपनी लिमिटेड, प्राइवेट लिमिटेड. अब ये एबीसी कंपनी प्राइवेट लिमिटेड इज रिप्रेजेंटेड बाय द डायरेक्टर्स, बट मैंने वहां के एक एम्प्लॉय के हाथ में ये चेक दे दिया. द एम्प्लॉय इज अ अकाउंटेंट, उसके हाथ में चेक दिया. दिस इज टेकन एज डिलीवरी, इट इज अ कंस्ट्रक्टिव डिलीवरी. इट हैज नॉट गॉन इनटू द हैंड्स ऑफ द डायरेक्टर्स, बट इट हैज गॉन इनटू द हैंड्स ऑफ द डायरेक्टर एम्प्लॉय या उसके सेक्रेटरी. सो कंस्ट्रक्टिव डिलीवरी इज ऑल्सो एक्सेप्टेड इफ इट इज गिवन टू द एजेंट और क्लर्क और सर्वेंट. I want to make payment to my landlord. Landlord घर पे नहीं है, मैंने चेक बना के लाया, मैंने उनके बीवी के हाथ में दे दिया. It's accepted. It's valid. The check is passed from my hands to the landlord's hands indirectly through his wife. I have not actually delivered it to the landlord, but I have given it to his wife because he was not at home. This is constructive delivery. So whether it is delivered directly or indirectly, delivery is required. What is important is the delivery is required. मेरे कब्जे में रख लिया मैंने बना के, तो it is no not a valid document. So negotiability means delivery. It has to be delivered to the payee. To constitute a contract, there has to be delivery of the instrument by the drawer or the endorser for a good consideration. एक तो हमने देख लिया पैसा चाहिए उसमें, देर हैज टू बी मनी ट्रांजैक्शन. विदाउट मनी ट्रांजैक्शन देर इज नो नेगोशिएबल इंस्ट्रूमेंट कमिंग इनटू एग्जिस्टेंस. सो द डिलीवरी व्हेन देर इज अ कॉन्ट्रैक्ट देर हैज टू बी डिलीवरी ऑफ द इंस्ट्रूमेंट फॉर द कंसिडरेशन. वंस द डिलीवरी टेक्स प्लेस द कॉन्ट्रैक्ट इज कंप्लीट एंड बिकम्स अ कॉन्ट्रैक्ट इन राइटिंग. वॉट इज दिस कॉन्ट्रैक्ट? द कॉन्ट्रैक्ट इज ऑफ द प्रॉमिस टू पे ऑन अ पर्टिकुलर डेट. And that promise will take effect only after the instrument is delivered to the payee. If the instrument is sent by post, because you know that person, the one, the payee, is in another city, another state, and he tells, "मैं तो वहाँ नहीं आ सकता हूँ चेक लेने के लिए, तुम by post भेज दो," and he sends it by post, the post office is the agent for the addressee, the payee. उसके फेवर में चेक बनाया है, उसके फेवर में बिल बनाया है. ही इज इन अनदर सिटी, यू हैव सेंट इट बाय पोस्ट बिकॉज ही हैज रिक्वेस्टेड, पोस्ट में भेज दो. द पोस्ट ऑफिस इज द एजेंट ऑफ दैट एड्रेस. यू हैव गिवन इट टू द पोस्ट ऑफिस, योर जॉब इज डन, यू हैव डिलीवर्ड. द पोस्ट ऑफिस एक्ट्स एज द एजेंट फॉर द एड्रेस. सिंस यू हैव गिवन इट टू द एजेंट, डिलीवरी हैज टेकन प्लेस. Subsequently, if the post office loses it, it is lost in transit also. आपने deliver कर दिया, the instrument has become a negotiable instrument. आपका काम खत्म हुआ. The person who has drawn the bill or the check, he has done his job by handing over to the post office. Since the post office is an agent, indirectly you have delivered it to the addressee, the payee. Now, over and above presumptions, ये इतने सारे presumptions हैं. A negotiable instrument act, we have seen that there are so many presumptions, that there is a maker, there is a drawer of the bill, there is money consideration, the date is there, the payment is certain, it is not a conditional instrument. All these presumptions are there. And we have also seen that the due date ke pehle transfer ho gaya, due date ke pehle endorsement ho gaya, the instrument is passed on to the payee, there is delivery taken place, transfer taken place. But over and above these presumptions, the act has also put certain restrictions on the parties that you cannot claim this, you cannot claim this on a future date. Aapne instrument banaya, aapne instrument handover kiya. Now these are the conditions under which you have done this. You cannot go back on your promises because of certain privileges which you may have. So they say no, you cannot claim any unfavorable presumptions or conditions and say ki nahi nahi main payment nahi karunga because this is not wrong, this is not correct. So this are known as rules of estoppel. The maker or the payee or the drawee or the drawer, they are all stopped from denying certain things or claiming certain wrong presumptions. So what are these estoppels? See, in order to make the negotiable instrument acceptable, easy to handle in mercantile trade, there are few aspects which the parties involved are stopped from claiming. These are over and above the presumptions. There are presumptions which are inherent, there are presumptions which are under the law, but there are certain rules of estoppel. वो कहते हैं कि नो यू विल नॉट क्लेम दिस, यू विल नॉट क्लेम दिस, यू कैनॉट डू दिस. द फर्स्ट एस्टॉपल इज अगेंस्ट डिनाइंग द ओरिजिनल वैलिडिटी ऑफ द इंस्ट्रूमेंट. सी वंस आई साइन अ चेक, बिफोर आई राइट एनीथिंग ऑन द चेक, इट इज जस्ट अ पीस ऑफ पेपर, अ ब्लैंक चेक, अ पीस ऑफ पेपर. वंस आई राइट समथिंग ऑन इट एंड साइन इट, इट बिकम्स अ चेक. It's a valid check and it becomes a negotiable instrument. After I do that, a negotiable instrument comes into existence by the maker drawer of a promissory note, bill of exchange, signing it. Maine sign kar diya. I fill the details, I've signed it, the instrument has come into existence. I've given birth to a instrument, I've given birth to a check. I have given birth to a bill of exchange. I have given birth to a promissory note. Then once I have created a check or a bill of exchange and having once given birth to it, it has come into existence, I cannot say that this is not a valid instrument. Otherwise, what will happen if I am allowed to claim, maine check bana ke B ke favor mein de diya and I will not pay to B. I'll tell the bank, stop this payment. I give instructions to the bank, stop payment. Check aaya to return kar do. Payment mat karna. Then B has to file a suit against me. Then I will say, arre bhaiya, maine jo check diya tha, wo to valid hi nahi tha. It was wrong. If I keep doing like this, every person who does not want to pay but get the benefit will keep on doing like this. Aise hi cases file karte jayenge court mein. Disputes will keep on rising. So the act says that once you have created a check, once you have given birth to a check, once you have signed the document, you cannot on a future date say that it was not a valid document. Somebody else may say, but you cannot say. Dusra koi bol sakta hai ki nahi, it was not a check properly dated or it was not a check properly issued. Bank may say that or some outsider may say that. But the person who has signed the check, the person who has signed the bill of exchange cannot say ki maine ye barabar nahi kiya tha, isliye it's not valid. So the person is stopped from denying that it is a valid negotiable instrument. I cannot on any future date deny the validity of that instrument. The second rule of estoppel, it denies the capacity of the payee to endorse. I have issued a check in favor of B. Now B is issuing a check in favor of C. So the payment has to go from me to C. B ne already endorsed kar diya C ke favor mein. Now I have to make the payment to C. I do not make the payment. C ko paisa nahi milta hai. C is going to file a suit against me. Then in the court, I cannot say no, B had no authority to endorse in your favor. So you are not entitled to this money. यदि मुझे पेमेंट नहीं करना है तो मैं 100 बहाने ढूंढूंगी. तो ये 100 बहाने में ये भी एक बहाना हो सकता है कि हाउ कैन बी एंडोर्स इन योर फेवर, बी को तो अथॉरिटी नहीं था, मैंने तो बोला ही नहीं था उसको आपके फेवर में एंडोर्स करने के लिए, सो यू आर नॉट एंटाइटल फॉर द अमाउंट, आई विल नॉट पे. तो यदि ऐसा करते रहोगे, हम करते रहेंगे ना, तो दुनिया में कोई किसी को पेमेंट ही नहीं कर सकता है, नोबडी विल गेट पेमेंट. सो दैट इज वाई द एक्ट टेक्स केयर ऑफ दीज पॉसिबिलिटीज एंड सेज दैट वंस I have endorsed, I have got the instrument endorsed in somebody else's favor, I, the maker of the instrument, cannot deny the capacity of the payee to endorse. So the rule says, the maker of a promissory note or an acceptor of a bill of exchange cannot deny the capacity of the payee to endorse the bill in any suit which a holder in due course may file. मैं बी के कैपेसिटी के बारे में बोल नहीं सकती बिकॉज आई हैव नो अथॉरिटी. वंस आई इश्यूड द चेक इन फेवर ऑफ बी, बी कैन एंडोर्स इट फर्दर इन एनीबडीज नेम. पर आगे जाकर मैं ये डिनाई नहीं कर सकती कि बी हैव नो अथॉरिटी टू फर्दर एंडोर्स इन योर फेवर. सी देयर इज वन मोर रूल विच सेज दैट आई कैन नॉट डिनाई द सिग्नेचर और कैपेसिटी ऑफ प्रायर पार्टीज. Suppose there is a bill or a check with 4-5 endorsements. The third person has endorsed it to the fourth person to fifth person. Now, fifth person is not getting the payment. So, he will file suit against all the four people before him. Fifth is the last payee, endorsee. People before him, four people before him have endorsed it subsequently. Now, when the fifth person is not getting the payment, he is going to file suit against all the previous people. Ki either the fourth person should pay, or the third person, or the second, or the first. Now, when he has filed the suit against four people before him, so ye third person jo hai, teesra number wala, he cannot say ki arre do number ya ek number wale ko authority nahi thi mere favor mein dene ke liye, to isliye I am discharged. I don't have any responsibility to pay. Maine jab check le liya ya bill le liya mere favor mein, I take it in good faith saying that one and two have got authority to endorse in my favor. Isliye to maine liya. Nahi to why should I take? If I have no faith in their capacity to endorse in my favor, I should not take at all. But having once taken it, I accept that they do have authority. Now, to the fourth and fifth person, I cannot say no, they have no authority at all. So, how can they endorse in my favor? So, ye galat hai. So, the act says that the endorser of a negotiable instrument cannot deny the signature of any prior parties or their capacity to sign or enter into a contract in any suit which a subsequent holder may file. Jaise maine kaha, if the fifth person, fifth endorsee is filing a suit against four people before him, the second or third person cannot say that the person before him, the first or the second endorsee, did not have authority or capacity to contract. They were either lunatics or minors or convicts, so they have no authority to convict, so to contract, so isliye unka signature invalid hai, so I am also discharged, I will not pay. Ye galat hai. So these estoppels, rules of estoppels, all these things are taken care of so that business can run smoothly, trade can happen smoothly, and there are no complications involved as far as negotiable instruments are concerned. So that is why the act is so cautious and so very deftly worded. It takes care of all small little possibilities which in future may come up. Now see, the, as I told you in the beginning, the act was enacted in 1881. That means uske 2-3 saal pehle baith ke logo ne, experts ne baith ke uske wordings chalu kiye the, likhna, act likhna chalu kiya. It was enacted in 1881, that means they must have started work on that, writing the act sometime in 1875, 1876, 4-5 saal lagte hain ek act banane ke fir enact hone ke liye. So that time itself, 140 saal pehle, they presumed ki kya kya possibility ho sakte hain in a trade transaction, who can say what, who can deny what. To ye sab pehle unhone act mein dal diye ki you will not do this, you will not do this, and these are the presumptions. Once the document is drawn, once it is signed, it is all proper, it is valid, and if all these are there, then these are the possibilities and these are the requirement, these are the benefits. Ye sab unhone pehle soch liya, and then the act was enacted, and they have done it in such a nice manner that the parties to the trade, the buyer, the seller, the maker, the drawer, the endorser, everybody gets benefit out of it, and no trivial cases are filed against each other and no frivolous cases, and people cannot deny payment on frivolous grounds. So, ye sab dhyan mein rakhte hue, the act has been made. And now we have seen that what are the presumptions, what are the characteristics of the Negotiable Instrument Act. Now, this is all covered in the first chapter. This is chapter 1. Okay, thank you, friends.